Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score.
The rotation is up and down. The lineup can go hot and cold, and the bullpen, well, it's a little bit shaky, but the Cubs head into the All-Star break with the best record in the National League and a 5-game lead in the loss column over the second-place Brewers. So is this team good enough to win it all? Meanwhile, the All-Star game festivities continue tonight with two Cubs sluggers in the Home Run Derby. But who's worried if Baez or Schwarber will suffer a post-Derby slump? Jabari Parker is coming home. The former Simeon standout signs a 2-year deal with the Bulls, second year a team option. So what can we expect from the former second overall pick? Will Perdue's going to drop by to discuss that tonight on Sports Talk Live. Welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Let's meet the panel for today's show. Longtime writer for the Tribune, Fred Mitchell, Pro Football Weekly and the Score Hub, Arkish, and the pride of Syracuse, Mr. Play-by-Play, Jordan Bernfield. So as I mentioned in the opening video, what do you think? Is this Cubs team good enough, guys, to win it all, to win the World Series? Are they in a group of about, you know, I don't know, five or six teams that you think could win the World Series?
Well,
I would say
you're in the conversation, right? And in any sport, getting to the postseason is number one, and then what happens after that sometimes varies. But the Cubs are certainly one of the teams to be considered.
It's only the fifth time in franchise history that they've gone into an All-Star break with the best record in the National League. I know that doesn't mean anything, but we had a lot of concerns. Fans were calling in and radio stations throughout, and you know, people tweeting out information saying this isn't going right. Rizzo's not playing well. Bryant's not playing. Darvish is a disaster. And all of a sudden, they get hot and they have the best record in the league.
You know, I really think they are the best team in the National League. I think they can be the best team in baseball. If the World Series were tomorrow, they wouldn't be my pick based on the way they got here. I think there's an interesting narrative out there, though, that nobody talks about. This almost like accepted fact that the American League is so much better than the National League. I just don't agree. I don't see it. I get that the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Astros would be 7 or 8 games ahead of the Cubs, but that's because the American League is so much less competitive this year. I mean, you know, the Indians are playing lousy baseball and they're running away with their division. I think it's been a tougher struggle because there's more not good but competitive teams in the National League. Obviously, the concern with the Cubs right now is not the concern, but when you talk about the World Series, will the starting pitching get better? Will it hold up? Will they have the 3-man rotation you need when playoff time comes?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of truth to your point. And the other thing I would say is that, one, the expectations are higher for the Cubs now than they ever were, which is why I think there's so much hand-wringing for a team that has the best record in the National League, right?
Yeah.
And the second thing is the Cubs really, when you think about how they got here, you know, we've mentioned that Rizzo has struggled. Bryant's been out for almost a month of the first half of the season. Darvish has not contributed yet, mostly because of injury. And they're still here. So if you think about that, I get that the Brewers lost 6 in a row. But to me, the Brewers have played in the first half basically the way they should be. They're a good National League team that should be, you know, 13, 14 games above 500 at the end of the year. If the Cubs were fully healthy, they could be running away with this division, and they were getting the performances that you expected. So I think, yes, it's been weird in certain respects, but I think the Cubs should be the best team in the National League.
Well, they should.
I think the encouraging thing about the Cubs is the fact that they've gotten contributions from so many different players. So they're not counting on the so-called core players. And Rizzo had a subpar first half. Bryant, as you mentioned, has been hurt. But other guys have stepped up and done unexpectedly well. But in a series, obviously starting pitching is the name of the game. And that's where they're going to have some consistency. They're going to have good health, better health among the starting pitchers to be considered a favorite anyway.
Well, I mean, Hayward's been better than some people expected. Baez has exceeded many people's expectations. Almora's been really, really good. You weren't sure if he was even going to be the everyday, you know, outfielder. Hap's had moments where he's been good. But you look at that rotation, And you could say that really only John Lester has lived up to the hype of what they thought they had in a rotation.
You know what's really interesting, Luke? I'm listening to you run down the names. I was thinking about something I heard Rizzo say the other day. Every one of the guys you just mentioned, plus four or five more, are top 10 picks in the draft.
Yeah.
This lineup is stacked. I mean, this is tremendous talent. Bryant has an MVP. Rizzo can compete for one. Baez is competing for one right now. Contreras looks like he's going to be good enough to compete for one. We don't know how high the ceiling is on Happ and Almora. They're loaded. They're really good. And so it gets down now to staying healthy and finding those three starting pitchers. I'll tell you the other thing that worries me a little bit. I was reading the Zach Britton rumors this morning. I don't know if he's the answer. I got no complaint with Brandon Morrow. I mean, 21 of 23 is 21 of 23, and he's throwing 98, but I have a hard time trusting him. I just, you know, the nagging injuries, the way he breaks down. Everybody keeps talking about starting pitching. The Manny Machado talk is foolish. There's no reason to do that. I think if they make a move, as good as the bullpen has been, that's probably where they're going to try and shore it up a little bit more.
Well, if they could get Britton and they combine him with Morrow and a healthy C.J. Edwards, and you have some other guys fitting Strope, your bullpen could become a huge weapon in
like
postseason.
Like the Indians a couple years ago. Yeah.
And then the thing that people don't talk enough about is the way they catch the ball, the defense.
Sure.
It's just, you know, whether it's a fancy way of doing it or just the routine plays, that's a big difference, and that helps your pitching staff.
And I know that their rotation has underachieved other than Lester this year, but I think that in the postseason, it means something to have that experience. I get that Kyle Hendricks hasn't looked like Kyle Hendricks, but how many guys in the National League, honestly, would you want in a big game over Kyle Hendricks? I'm just saying, if you get back to the postseason and you win the Central, as many of us, I think, believe could be the case, even if the rotation doesn't look like it should in terms of a numbers perspective, I think you like your chances with the guys you'd run out there.
One of the reasons I focus on the bullpen is something I heard Jed say the other day. Is that, you know, in the playoffs these days, you don't expect your starters to go more than four or five innings anyway.
Right.
And I think they see that. That's how they won a World Series. And I just, I mean, they're not going to unload somebody off the major league roster to get a frontline pitcher when they're nailed with Darvish and Lester's contracts for another 3 or 4 years. So you got to hope that Hugh Darvish gets healthy and becomes Hugh Darvish.
And we know that's how Madden uses Hendricks and some of these other guys in the postseason anyway. So Home Run Derby comes up. You have two Cubs going in it, Baez and Schwarber. Anybody concerned at all that the alleged postseason or post-Derby slump would come for either of these guys, affect their swing to the point where they don't play as well in the second half?
I was completely freaked, and then Jordan just calmed me down. So,
I mean, to me, like, Javi Baez swings for a home run basically every swings he takes, right? So, like, how different would his swing be altered post-Derby? I mean, isn't he always swinging for a bomb? And as far as Schwarber's concerned, I think that he is also a guy that just has sort of natural power, so I don't feel like he's going to change a swing tonight anyway. I mean, I get the worry.
Yeah.
But
anything,
I just feel like with these two guys.
About an injury, whatever.
Yeah.
But,
I'm not worried.
So the question today, our poll question is, who's going to win the Home Run Derby from Ank and Law? Schwarber, Baez, or the field tonight? Well, the field's only a couple other guys. There's only one American League slugger in it, which is strange.
You guys, the way I look at it is such a meaningless, worthless accomplishment that I'd rather they were home resting, to be honest with you, or Schwarber.
Yeah.
I'm happy for Javi that he's there. I wish he had passed on the Home Run Derby. I don't see the upside in the Home Run Derby. That's my problem. I don't see what you get out of it.
The only thing I would say is probably for the younger guys, especially who are more accustomed to this routine, it's a big confidence builder if they do well. Mm-hmm. That's
sure.
The upside.
And they're looking forward to it. I mean, Schwarber spoke a couple hours ago. We carried it live, and he was like, I look forward to this my whole life. I watched Ken Griffey turned the hat backwards, and that's what I always thought. Someday that's a bucket list thing he wanted to do. So, I mean, we take it seriously because everybody, you know, it's a business for us as fans. Everybody's into it. But for the players, you got to remember also that they're also trying to have a little fun out there.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, it's a fun event, and I think it's cool that the Cubs are behind them in this sense, because, you know, sometimes teams get a little squirrely about it, like, oh, we don't want our best player ruining their swing or anything. And they're like, yeah, go do this and have fun. And listen, I mean, I think that Baez has become must-see TV anyway. I'm just wondering what he's going to do tonight to be El Mago while he's out there swinging for the fences.
I guess I may be the only one, but I enjoy watching Baez in the field so much more than I do at bat. I don't care what he does
in the field. I don't know. Running the bases has become his thing.
Yeah.
Like
watching
that guy go from first to third, or every time you're around second, you know he's thinking, if that guy doesn't hustle to the ball, I'm ripping towards the next base.
Baseball instincts. Yeah, instincts on the bases are terrific. Bryant's a great base runner. He's not the fastest guy, but he has great instincts on when to take the extra base.
If Baez wins the home run derby, he should round the bases and then do one of those swim slides into the plate.
No. We don't need Baez doing any sliding at all.
In the
All-Star game, I'd prefer he just do the home run derby and then, although he is going to lead off the All-Star game.
Right.
We have three Chicago players starting in the game, and he's going to lead it off.
Yeah, well, I mean, not that you're a traditional leadoff man. Was he a 14 walks the entire season?
Well, you never know what Joe's going to do. He'll put anybody in at leadoff at this point. Unfortunately, we have to head to break tonight on some really sad news from hockey. Former Blackhawks goaltender Ray Emery passed away yesterday in Ontario. He drowned while swimming in a harbor early Sunday morning after diving in. He never resurfaced. Emery was a backup goaltender for the 2013 Stanley Cup Championship Blackhawks team, backed up Corey Crawford. An autopsy is expected to be completed later today. Former Blackhawk Ray Emery, gone at the young age of just 35. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. Jabari Parker is coming home, the former Simeon star and number two overall pick. Signs with the Bulls, a two-year deal, $40 million. Second year is a team option. And we are joined on Sports Talk Live by our resident Bulls analyst. Will Perdue is in the house. Will, what do you think of the deal? Now, the real key to it is team option second year, correct?
Yeah. I think two things have happened this year for the Bulls. I mean, first, the protection they have with the Zach LaVine deal, but also the protection they have for the second year. So if things don't work out, hey, thank you very much. We paid you $20 million for a tryout. Hopefully another team will pick you up. We need that money to free up for free agency for 2019. If things do work out, he makes another $20 million. I like the idea because what was one of the things we talked about at the end of the season was they needed another individual that can go out and create his own shot. I think Jabari Parker can do that.
Do you worry about his fit as a three on the team? Has he been better as a four than he has as a three?
Well, his numbers, obviously, if you go back and look, he's been better as a four. But also, if you go back and look at his numbers for just April, small sample size, but in the month of April for Milwaukee, I think he averaged 19 points, 8 rebounds, shot better than 50% from the floor and like 48% from three. So if he can continue that coming into this season, I mean, that to me, that's a home run.
Do you have any concerns about his style of play, you know, given the knee problems that he's had, any adjustments?
Well, you always do because of the way he plays. Anybody. I mean, I have the same concern with Zach LaVine because of how he plays and his injury, as explosive as he is and the way he likes to play. Listen, we're all pretty much gun shy because of Derrick Rose.
Right.
All right. Derrick Rose was the first player of his kind. Now there's a lot of players that play that way. Mm-hmm. And you always are concerned, especially guys that have a history of that reoccurring. Mm-hmm. But again, because of the protection that the Bulls get with that contract, I think it's a no-brainer.
I was actually on the radio Saturday hosting at the Score when this thing broke, and fans were freaking out over the money. And, Will, I think fans, first of all, don't understand the scale in the NBA these days, and the $20 million doesn't buy what it used to. But more than that, the Bulls had to spend some of that money. I mean, it's all. Would you rather have three end-of-the-bench guys to use up the money to get it over the floor, I should say?
But I think what some people are forgetting about is this is also sending a message to free agents that we take care of our players. We have a tendency to overpay our players. So this makes Chicago more attractive. Because what's one of the things that the Bulls have been unable to do over the last couple of years? Get that big free agent signing. You look at the best players that they have on their roster, they either got through the draft or they got through the trade. So if things work out and they can hit a home run in 2019, they're sending a message of what they're willing and capable of doing.
Well, the other thing is if he can still be the second pick in the draft, have superstar potential, he can be everything Derrick Rose was going to be until he got hurt, if he can be that player.
If, and I understand it's a
big if,
but we've got 82 games and hopefully the playoffs to find out.
And do you think that they are building enough that a free agent is going to want to come in 19? Because like you said, and you're right, the Bulls have, for whatever reason, had trouble getting that big free agent to come. They can get the Jabari Parkers to come, but getting that big one, I mean, that's what everything hinges on, right?
Yeah, so I think it hinges on A, how does the offense look this year?
Yeah.
B, the defense has to improve dramatically. Because
yes.
I was just talking to Mark Schanowski about this. At this point right now, if you just took defensive stats alone, for this team to be successful, they probably have to average about 108 to 112 points a game, average. Mm-hmm. So the defense really has to improve, and everybody's seen the numbers with Markkanen on the floor, Levine on the floor, Parker on the floor. On paper, it doesn't look that good. Mm-hmm. So they really have to step things up. But if they can win with this lineup, and then you talk about if you throw Wendell Carter into that starting lineup, everybody's younger than 24 years old, an older veteran who's still got a lot left in the tank. Everybody wants to talk about Philly. All of a sudden, I think Chicago could be more attractive necessarily than Philly, because what's the other thing that people talk about? Market. Yeah. And who has a bigger market than some of the free agent teams that are attractive than Chicago right now?
We sat here with Vinny Goodwill after the season, and I said, are the Bulls a playoff team? I think they are. Teddy Greenstein mocked me when I said the Bulls are a playoff team. I still believe the East is so wide open. I don't see how the Bulls are not a playoff team if things go well next season. I'm not saying they're going to win the East, but they're a playoff team, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I thought they were a playoff team before the Jabari Parker signing. That's what I believe in Zach LaVine. I mean, I've watched him in practice. I know there's only a small sample size. I know what I saw. And I go back to the player that I saw that played for UCLA. And I remember when he declared for the draft, and I was like, are you kidding me? This guy's declaring for the draft? But the improvement I saw from UCLA to Minnesota, and if he can continue to improve at that pace, again, a big if, I think he can be a heck of an offensive player.
So how high could they go next year? Let's give us best case scenario for the Bulls season. Markkanen is ripped. We saw him a couple weeks ago. Markkanen comes out. He plays like a superstar.
Let me
use cap terms. He comes out like a stud, and he comes out and he plays. How good could the Bulls be, Max?
Max, I think, is 4th seed, because I think you basically have the Celtics, then the Sixers. Still talk about how we all know how good Toronto is in the regular season. At that point, it's then what? Indiana, Milwaukee, Washington, Chicago. Well, we're talking best case scenario, but all of a sudden you're talking about if everybody stays healthy, there's no limit restrictions, minute restrictions, and these guys live up to their potential with Wendell Carter and Hutchinson. And you talk about, who we're not talking about? Was probably the most improved player in the league last year, even though he didn't get the award, was Bobby Portis. Mm-hmm. We're not even talking about him. And you bring him off the bench, again, offensive juggernaut, but can they stop anybody?
Well, we've all observed Fred Hoiberg as an NBA coach and his progress, I guess. Well, what would you have to say about how he's
Well, I think, adjusted? Unfortunately for him, it's the jury's still out. Because the first 2 years, he didn't have the team to fit his offensive system. So he tried to make do. And some of the success they had early on was when they kind of went back, and I give Fred credit for that. They were using the offense that they were running when Thibodeau was here.
Right.
But he was willing to sacrifice what he wanted to do to be successful. But now he's got, what, a young team, up and coming. What was the highlight you saw with Jabari Parker? Pushing the ball, getting out on the break. The only thing I don't like about this is there needs to be, in my opinion, a pecking order. You can't just have 10 guys that have a green light at all times. Mm-hmm. I think there has to be a pecking order as far as the ball needs to be in this guy's hands. We need to feed this guy. And if somebody's hot, those other guys got to cool off. They got a yellow light. That guy's got a green light. But that was some of the complaints from some of the veterans that have come and gone, is that anybody can shoot at any time if they're open.
Right.
Will, thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it. Now I'm looking forward to Bulls season even more than I was before you got
here. Well, how about this? It's what? July what? And we're talking about the Bulls? We're talking about the NBA?
It's been a while.
Surprise, surprise.
Very good. All right, that big sigh of relief you heard this weekend came from Guaranteed Rate Field. Yoan Moncada left Saturday's game with an injury, but he came back and homered yesterday. Still, the Sox have the third worst record in baseball, but is the rebuild still on track? Back with our clip of the week presented by Great Clips. Viva la France, the French, win their second World Cup, beating Croatia 4-2 in the final. They were the only team that did not lose a match in the entire tournament. The country of Croatia, meanwhile, was crushed with the result, including big time, quote unquote, big time Croatian fan David Kaplan, pictured here with his wife Mindy on their current capcation. And just see how devastated he was after his beloved team came so close to glory. Wait, Coop, what's that? We're getting word that we have some breaking news about Cap. Here he is today. Le Flipper himself has gone to France on his way home and celebrating his World Cup championship. There's no doubt he will have a French World Cup jersey when the Cap Man gets back. I believe he's back on Wednesday, so looking forward to that.
He's going to have a beret and
they will have a beret, no question about it. Let's talk a little White Sox baseball to wrap up the show. Sox got Yoelman caught a little bit of a scare. He's hurt on Saturday. Sunday, he comes back and hits a homer. That's the type of guy you need him to stay healthy to keep the rebuild on the right track.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there has been things to like about Moncada in the first half, but I also feel like there's still a lot of development for him still. He's, you know, young enough where I feel like there's still possibly a really good career for him. But my concern is that because of what he means to their rebuild, you really kind of need him to be one of those cornerstone pieces. And some of the guys that we've seen so far this year, I mean, Lopez has had some good moments, certainly, but Giolito has not been great. I mean, I think we're still years away for the White Sox.
And yeah, he really rebounded quickly from that injury, right?
Yeah.
He ran the base as well, and teammates were teasing him, I think, after the game.
I think the reality, I know it's not football, it's not hockey, but you play 140, 150 games, you're going to get nicked up a little bit. You can't freak out every time he gets a hangnail. Yeah. And you had to at least wait and see how he came back. And I think the fact that he bounced back so well should be encouraging.
And it's not, you're not talking about major injuries. Hamstring things and stuff throughout the season, again, it's not, you don't have to go to have surgery and then recover for a full year or something. It's all been minor.
When Chris Bryant went to the DL with his shoulder, nobody freaked out, you know, because he's in his fourth year, whatever. You know what you got there. You just got to give this kid a chance. You got to let him become Yoan Moncada, and then we'll have a better idea.
I'll ask you, Hub, because I know you care the most. Who wins the home run derby tonight?
I don't know who's in it besides Baez and Schwarber, so I can't really ask the question.
So Baez, Schwarber, or somebody else?
I think Kyle Schwarber is going to win the home run derby.
Kyle Schwarber, there it is.
Yeah, right. I like that. He's got the home run swing.
Javi? It would be fun. I think probably Harper is going to win, right? It's a home city, at least for
rigged.
Now.
It's rigged. He's in a cherry blossom bat, apparently. I don't know. That's a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Have a great evening. We'll see you back here tomorrow night.